I'm Bill Lako, certified financial planner, joined today by Ted Parrish, chartered financial analyst, and Dr. Gene Hensler. And we're here today with our special guest, former Secretary of State Karen Handel, who's running for governor. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to talk with y'all. It's good to be back with you.
How's the campaign?
It is going fantastic. I feel very, very energized and optimistic, and I'm just so grateful for the outpouring of support around the state, and certainly strong in Metro Atlanta. But as you know, I'm running to be governor of Georgia, not of Metro Atlanta, and so the support around the state has been just awesome, incredible. I mean, think about the gal from Metro Atlanta getting the endorsement of the Valdosta mayor.
Right.
Right. So it's really, I feel just So energetic about where we are.
The campaign is probably just getting into the home stretch now. There's what you 26 days left.
26 days.
Yeah, I know that we're lazy. We've all got our ballots already.
So yeah, we absentee.
We absentee, so we can
well,
get
good.
our votes.
Well,
and
for your other listeners, just so that they know, July 20th is Election Day, and early voting is underway. So just check with your county elections office. I think you can link to your county off of the Secretary of State's website, and you can find out exactly the locations and hours of operation. And go ahead and vote and get it done before July 20th even.
What do you think the big difference is between you and the other people who are running for a governor?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, you know, I'm not a career politician, and I think that is a big issue and a big differentiator in this particular election cycle. The establishment candidates are the ones who are just not doing well, and I have a track record of reform. And equally as important, I'm a business person, and you know, the job of governor is being the chief executive officer for our state. It is, you know, more than just putting your name on a piece of legislation or voting yes or no. You've got to hang around to do the heavy lifting of actually delivering results day in and day out. And I have a strong track record, whether at the Secretary of State's office, Fulton County Commission Chairman, CEO of the North Fulton Chamber, of doing just that under some of the most difficult circumstances.
Yeah, you clean up a real mess in Fulton County. I don't know, most people around here remember that. So
that's right. It was difficult. And I think that underscores two things, you know, problem-solving skills and also leadership. I mean, y'all know this as business folks. It's one thing to have a good idea. It's something else, again, to be able to lead people, you know, to a place they might not want to go to on their own.
Right. Well, I was just curious. I know you've been backed by quite a few business leaders in Georgia. How do you plan to continue that?
I think a couple of things. You know, first of all, Georgia's done an admirable job and a very good job of bringing in companies from around the country and around the world. And what we do need to do is have an ongoing platform for our base of existing business, whether it is existing large companies or for small companies, and as well as entrepreneurs. And clearly, the chambers of commerce around the state are a great entree for that, along with you know, groups like TAG, the Technology Association of Georgia, and I think we can create some additional opportunities, you know, through the Commission for a Better Georgia to engage business leaders even more in kind of the next step up from where Governor Perdue has done that with his Commission for New Georgia.
Listen, one of the guys running for a governor is talking about, we know, furloughs of teachers, and there are going to be raises for teachers and this for teachers, et cetera. I was under the impression that most of these things were determined by, like, Cobb County, DeKalb County, in terms of what they're going to pay their people and whether they're going to have furloughs or what hours they're going to have or how many days of the week. If that's the case, what power does the governor have in education?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, yes. I mean, and as someone who believes in local control, you know, we do elect local school board members, whether it is for our county or if it is a city school system. And for the governor, you know, it is more broad policy setting. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Gene. I mean, the governor, I suppose you could pass legislation that would mandate saying no furloughs. And certainly I don't agree with the furloughs, but I wouldn't want to see us do that. I think that what we need to do is really create the kind of environment where we are encouraging not doing the furloughs. When it comes to pay raises, What I would like to see us do is work together with the local school systems, especially for our frontline educators, to build, I'm going to call them career ladders. One of the things that I've been distressed to learn is that for individuals who want to make their career in the classroom, the path to growing professionally and then financially in your job typically means moving into administration. And we need to build out the kind of career ladders for teachers to enable them to stay in the classroom while also growing their profession. And I think secondly, you know, working with the school board association around many of these issues so that we can drive good sound policy to ensure that education is a top priority for this state.
The other thing that comes up are water rights. How is that proceeding, and how would you do anything different in order to maintain that we can use Lake Lanier for our water supply?
Well, I'm in the camp of cautiously optimistic about the negotiations, particularly between Georgia and Alabama. I think Florida, we've talked about this before, there are just different political dynamics there that make an agreement much more difficult. But for Governor Perdue and Governor Riley, they have the benefit of being able to kind of put politics on the side. They're not running for anything else and being really focused on problem solving. So I'm optimistic there. And, you know, if we can get an agreement even with Alabama, that boosts our support and our influence in Congress to be able to change the legislation for Lake Lanier. And that's important. And I think equally as important working on a parallel track is to make sure that we are doing the right things here to control our own destiny. The conservation legislation that the legislature passed and the governor signed is very important to send the right message. Then for us to move forward as a state with projects like the reservoir projects, things of that nature. And we can jumpstart them. Yes, we have a budget crisis, but if we work with our local governments and explore some public-private partnerships, we can be well on our way within this two-year time period, and that's what the judge needs to see from us.
Gotcha.
Karen, this is Ted Parrish. Now, do you think that the next governor will be faced with the possibility of raising taxes, and would you avoid that, and how would you avoid it?
Well, when I'm the next governor, no, I don't think we're going to be faced with raising taxes. I think a couple of things. You know, one, you know, we've got to look at both the revenue side and the spending side, and the truth is that we need to have comprehensive tax reform in our state, and we need to have comprehensive, I'll call it modernization of state government and downsize state government. It's not a jobs program. This is our opportunity to transform state government, what we do and how we're doing it.
You've done that in the when you were Secretary of State. Where would you trim?
Well, I think a number of areas. As Secretary of State, I permanently downsized that agency by almost 20%, so it can be done. And broadly with the state, prioritize what we're doing. We've got, you know, areas that we ought to look at and force rank our programs from most important to least important. One of the places we can start, any programs that were expanded with federal stimulus dollars, first on the chopping block. We should have never used federal stimulus dollars to do program expansion. Secondly, consolidate agencies, make a concerted effort to go after consolidating agencies. Look at every agency in state government has its own HR department, payroll, all of those things. We can consolidate those common administrative services. Then look at outsourcing. You know, in a riding high economy, you might not always get the best service at the better price, but in a down economy where we are now starting to come out of it, this is an opportunity for some real savings and great quality out to market on things like technology and landscaping, areas where there are real private sector solutions for it.
I've got a couple other questions, and you know, I'm not a very smart guy, so I need some help here understanding.
It's like I'm just a country boy. Hold on to your wallet.
Beware.
Well, I'm not very popular among my family nor some of my friends who feel very strongly about immigration reform and immigration laws. I look at this from a finance point of view, and it seems to me that if we could find a way to allow people to come to this country legally, which I am in favor of, that might help us tax-wise, that might help us housing-wise, more demand so forth and so on. And I know that you're in support of the Arizona law, and actually so am I. But how do you reconcile that here in Georgia? I mean, do you feel, where do you draw the line on immigration?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. If it's illegal, it's illegal, and we need to address that. You know, clearly from a broad perspective, Washington has fundamentally abdicated its responsibility on this issue in states, you know, such as Arizona and such as Georgia have had no choice but to act when you look at the budget crunch that everyone is under. Here in Georgia alone, illegal immigration costs over $1.5 billion every year. $1.5 billion. Mm. So, I mean, we must deal with it.
Would that change if they were legal? I mean, I'm not trying to be stupid here with this question, but if these people were legal...
I think it would be even more expensive.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be even more expensive.
Karen, what are those costs?
Things like visits to the emergency room, all the costs in the schools. You know, think about individuals who are here illegally, who are in our schools, who are not, for the most part, paying into the system. So, I mean, it's not an easy issue, and emotions most certainly ride high on it. And you know, don't misunderstand me. We are a nation of immigrants, and, you know, we want to embrace that. And as a governor, I will, and as a state, we should. But let's do it in a legal way. And it is just so unfair and a real slap in the face of those immigrants who are here who did everything right and did everything in the legal way. And many are waiting. They've waited 10 years to bring over a spouse or a parent. And that's just wrong to allow individuals to come here illegally and jump the queue, if you will. And we need to deal with it. And it also, beyond just the legality of it, it is becoming a serious dollars and cents burden on the budget.
You know, we had this little problem at Kennesaw State, and don't be too harsh because we back Kennesaw State to the hilt here.
I love Kennesaw. It's a fantastic university.
There was a female student there who's a senior, and they've allowed to go back to finish up her degree. What kind of controls can you have so that we don't have illegal aliens getting in-state tuition in the state of Georgia?
Well, the Board of Regents is taking a look at that. But, you know, candidly, I don't think we should have illegals in the system to begin with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that means that we've got to undertake some sort of reforms here at the state level to really deal with the issue, because just doing policy decisions for the university system isn't going to be what it takes. And it is broad reforms. And the second piece of it is making sure that our local law enforcement come to the table as partners, and how do we solve it? Because we can pass legislation and laws, you know, all day long, but if our local law enforcement, if they don't have the tools and the resources to actually enforce it, we've not accomplished anything. So it's going to have to be a multi-level. This problem is too big to go it alone. We need to have all of the affected and individual parties and the individuals who can play a role in the solution at the table.
Well, when you become governor and you start making some of these changes in terms of the budget and trimming and whatnot, do you think that you will be able to build the coalition that it takes to, you know, within Congress, to our state Senate and House, to make those changes? I mean, that you can't just do it with a pen, right?
That's right. That's right. I do. And, you know, when building coalitions, when we get to that place, the campaigns and the political aspect of campaigns will be over, and it will be my job to, frankly, work with Speaker Ralston and the Lieutenant Governor to help us find those common agenda items that we can work on. And certainly our legislature, they are, and rightly so, and by constitution, they have their own set of responsibilities and are separate from the executive branch, and they'll have their ideas and policy items that they want to bring forward. What my goal will be is to identify those areas where we're going to agree each year and really move towards solutions on problems. And equally as important, to use my experience as a county commissioner to help us better bridge the gap between the state and our local governments, because the issues that we are facing, the state can't solve them on its own, and local governments won't be able to solve them on their own. We must work together, and necessity is going to drive that. And leadership will be a big part of leveraging that and harnessing that energy
I got you. Well, that makes a lot of sense to me. My last question, and I'm going to try not to be smarmy with this, but how do you see our state? Well, I was just thinking, you know, we have a king in Washington that basically just stops drilling whenever he wants and stuff of that nature. And I'm so glad that judge slapped him the other day.
And another judge slapped him today.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, how do you see, as governor, our state working with the health care reform that Obama has gotten passed and this debacle that is coming in 2013?
So I think the most important thing is to be extraordinarily tenacious on two fronts. One, the courtroom battle, and then two, to be a real leader, not just in Georgia, but around this country, to engage Georgians can help in other key races around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can have some wins in the courtroom, but the real battlefront is at the ballot box and to make the kinds of changes that we need to get this country back focused on, you know, really the rights of the states. And I always find it so ironic that there was such an overstepping of authority with Obamacare, and yet on illegal immigration, a total abdication of what is the role of the federal government. And don't get me wrong, we need health care reform, but let's drive that at the state level with free market principles doing it, being able to buy insurance across state lines and not have these mandates coming in from the feds that are going to require us to expand Medicaid by 500,000 people to a minimum price tag of $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the federal government's role. Those are issues that the state
And the state bears those costs. Am I correct?
That's exactly right. And the money is not there. Think about Georgia. Our budget this year is 17.5, maybe closer to 18 billion. To add 1 billion
mm-hmm.
right to that. So we've got to be diligent on that. And failure is just not an option. I mean, to
well, I want to thank you.
It's really not.
Thank you for coming on, and I wish you luck.
Thank you.
And
it's always great to be with y'all, Gene.
Okay,
and I appreciate it. Ted and Bill, so great to talk with you.
After you get this nomination, we'll
I'll be
we'll
back.
Join with you. There you go.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Take care.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.